Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, I gotta tell it because I don't want to lose it. When I came to this service, I was beat down because, you see, last night I couldn't come. Because last night my arm hurt too bad. So I laid up and I took a pill, and maybe that doesn't sound much to you, but I was a drug user for 20 years. And every time I had to take one of those, it was admitting, oh, it was something I didn't want to go back to. So let me tell you something. My God heard my plea tonight. Oh, not only did he heal me, but he took away my pain. Oh! If you leave without getting yours, you missed it. Oh, it's here, it's here, it's here. Hallelujah.
Well, look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Oh, hey, he healed his body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, so I'm gonna praise his name.
Oh, yes.
He's always just the same.
Mercy taught us. Your glory taught us how to shout, to lift your name in all the earth, and we'll shout to the praise of your glory. It's the overflow, the forgiven salt, and now we've seen you, God, and our hearts cannot be smiling. We will be a shouting generation.
God is light, in him is no darkness, neither shadow. God is light. Wherever he is, it's light. Doesn't matter what's going on around, it's light. Amen. Everything is filled with light. And there's a lot more light than there is darkness. All darkness is, it means that there's nothing for the light to reflect off of. If it finds a reflector, it reveals itself. Amen. When God finds somebody that he can reflect on, then he will reveal himself. He'll do it on your job. He'll do it in your home. He'll do it in your school. He'll do it everywhere we go. That's why the scripture said, ye are the light of the world. We are reflectors of his light. And when God finds somebody that will reflect him, there is light. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's the mountain. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's a cave. If he can find a reflector, there'll be light. Hallelujah. He's everywhere. And everywhere that he is, he's God. And everywhere he is, he's light. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't he a good God? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I heard about one man. He was complaining a little bit to the Lord because he was having to climb up, as the song says, the rough side of the mountain. And the Lord said, did you ever try to climb a smooth one? Then you're going to have suction cups, I guess. Amen. So thank God for the roughness. That's how you get up the mountain. If you couldn't find a handhold or a place to put your foot, you couldn't climb. Amen. God provides. Even if it seems rough, he'll make a way and you'll get over. Anybody feel the Holy Ghost in the house tonight? Are you glad he's here? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Treadwell, please come. We've enjoyed every service. Amen. Come and deliver your heart and the word of the Lord to us here tonight. God bless you. Amen.
Appreciate you, Pastor Grissom. Praise the name of the Lord, everybody. Good to be in church tonight. In his presence is fullness of joy. His right hand pleasures forevermore. I love that scripture. Can't you tell? I've only quoted it a few times since I've been here. Genesis chapter 6, if you have your Bible. And verse 1, and it came to pass. Aren't you glad it didn't come to stay?
Yeah, come on.
That when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that also he is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And my thought for you tonight is that giants don't swim well. Giants don't swim well. Would you lift your hands, Father? I thank you for the word of God that brings life. The rich power of your spirit, Father, that we feel in this house right now. Your glory and the lifter of our head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy is the Lord. Would you put your Bibles down and just give Jesus a hand of praise if he's done something for you? You may be seated. There were giants in the earth in those days. I forgot the remote, so you're just going to have to follow me. This particular, unless someone wants to go grab it, that would be wonderful. All right. So, now I cannot vouch for all of these photos. Some of them may have been photoshopped. I don't know. Most of these photos are common to the internet, but you can see the backhoe in the background of this particular shot that has its claim that this was a giant, of course, on Earth. And I do believe that many of the reports are true. I know there is some photoshopped fake stuff on the internet, and some of it's hard to tell the difference. But some of it's pretty obvious. So, you know, if a Photoshop shot in, got involved here, why, don't hold it against me. That's not the point. The point is the Bible says there were giants in the earth in Noah's day. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Does anybody know tonight that there is a grace of God that can cause us to slay giants that would try to step into our lives and destroy us and harm us and hurt us? But in their day, nobody could stop the giants because they were giants. They were huge. They were wicked, doing that which was very displeasing in the sight of the Lord, doing that which was against the principles of God. They were very real. And of course, giants are nothing new. Interestingly, there have been giants since the beginning of creation. They have been around. I don't know if anybody knows where the remote is, but all right. So it's a reality of history, and certainly it's not for the sake of fascination. There's simply nothing wrong with a person being large, being tall. That is not the individual's fault, and it is actually very intriguing. But the Bible says in Noah's day that they were wicked. And so, like I said, while there is nothing wrong with a person having too much growth hormone in their pituitary gland, which causes a person to grow beyond normal heights, that is not what bothered God. It's not what bothered God at all. Now, research has shown modern archaeologists, and it has been proven, not a hoax, but it has been proven, there have been skeletons found of men 12 feet plus tall buried next to dinosaur bones. Because, contrary to what the evolutionists will tell us, the evolutionists will say that dinosaurs ceased to exist billions of years ago. There is no archaeological evidence for that. In fact, we know that they existed in recent history. Thank you, Pastor. And so, in fact, that is why they have found men's bones buried next to dinosaur bones. In fact, it has been proven scientifically that reptiles never stop growing. Did you know that? Reptiles just keep growing. And so it is highly possible that dinosaurs were simply extremely large lizards. And the reason why is because what happened was there was a major canopy there was a massive canopy of water around the outer atmosphere of the earth prior to Noah's flood, you see. Well, that canopy of water in the atmosphere held a much larger amount of oxygen in the atmosphere. Well, that oxygen is what causes things to grow larger. So everything was large back in Noah's day. Vegetation, can you imagine strawberries the size of cantaloupes? Everything was huge. It is possible that even Noah and his sons may have been much larger than us, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and maybe just the human population in general was much larger. Maybe they didn't need as much scaffolding as we would have needed, I don't know, to build the ark. But I know this, that those reptiles, those dinosaurs, those extremely large lizards, they were huge because reptiles never stopped growing. But what happened was, when Noah's flood hit and everything changed and that canopy of water was broken, the amount of oxygen in the atmosphere has been reduced. It has been proven that oxygen is a major healing element. In fact, they will put athletes who have been injured in these oxygen capsules where they will heal much faster. And if you can find a way to get oxygen in your blood, you will be much healthier. And so this is, of course, one reason why there has been such a craze in the last few decades with a resurgence of cardiovascular exercise, etc., because it increases the blood flow to the brain. That is why people love, things like coffee and caffeine, because it's a stimulant that gets the oxygen to the brain. But that's another controversy in and of itself. So someone needs to take this to the sound booth, I think, and activate it. No, here it goes. It's already activated. So look at this one. Now, again, I cannot vouch for these photos, but just imagine, even if these are photoshopped, imagine, I mean, this could be reality here. I honestly don't know. But we know the Bible says, I don't need these photos to prove to me that giants existed. The Bible says they did. We know the Bible is true. So just to oil the thoughts, just to put a little WD-40 on your brain tonight. Look at this. Now, I have a hard time believing this one. This skull. Look at this guy. Get a close look up at that one. This guy next to that massive skull. Now, this guy next to another skull. I'm not trying to be morbid tonight. That thing is absolutely huge. Look at this one. Well, that's a lady, not a skeleton. She's pretty tall. That's an old photo. She's got a little more than just bones. She looks like she may have some organs and some sinews and some tendons and some skin and everything else. This guy's pretty big. Now look at the person in the background. That guy, I think he's only about 7'4", if my memory is correct. And now look at this. 47-inch human femur, that's your thigh bone, in the late 1950s, during the road construction in southeast Turkey, in the Euphrates Valley. You know, the Euphrates River is the Mississippi of the Middle East. 60-70% of it runs through Iraq. And of course, we've been fighting a war along the Euphrates for almost 7 years. And we know the Bible says in Revelation that during the Sixth Trumpet War, there will be a war that will start out of the Euphrates River that will ultimately wind up in the killing of one-third of the human race. And so here in the Euphrates Valley, many tombs containing the remains of giants were uncovered. At two sites, the leg bones were measured to be about 120 centimeters, 47.24 inches. Joe Taylor, director of Mount Blanco Fossil Museum in, how do you say that, Crossbitten, Texas? Crossbitten? Is there really a town in Texas called Crossbitten? Or is it Crossbiting? Crossbitten. Something like that. Crossbyton. Texas, right here in your state. Joe Taylor was commissioned to sculpt this anatomically correct and to scale human femur. This giant stood some 14 to 16 feet tall and had 20 to 22 inch tall or long feet. His or her fingertips, with arm to their sides, would be about 6 feet above the ground. Here's their fingertips right here. The biblical record in Deuteronomy 3:11 states that the iron bed of Og, king of Bashan, was 9 cubits by 4 cubits, or approximately 14 feet wide, long, excuse me, by 6 feet wide. That's what the Bible says, how big the bed of Og. And I'm going to talk about Og. And so it's interesting that these things are being found. So the Bible is true. And now, of course, we've got some modern giants. Here's Robert Wadlow, 8 feet 11 inches. He was almost 9 feet tall. He lived from 1918 to the 1940s, and he was from Alton, Illinois. His shoe was a size 37. It cost $100 just to make one pair of shoes for Robert Wadlow, and that was during the Great Depression. I have been told that he died. He got a blood blister on his foot, and infection set in. And because of the huge amount of growth hormone in his pituitary gland, it greatly hurt his immune system and his ability to fight off infection. So that is why he died so young. But, you know, he became very famous because of his immense height, of course. And he was interviewed on a variety of radio programs, and they did all kinds of stuff, publicity stuff with him. And I guess he was popular, wasn't he? And I don't know who would have wanted to marry Robert, but he was a tall guy. Well, then there's this guy, Mr. Bao Xingxing. He is 7 feet 9 inches, and of course he stuck his arm in the throat of a dolphin to try to retrieve something not too long ago. And just amazing. So we know that there are giants. There have been giants. This is his wedding, and his wife is 5'6". She's 2 feet shorter than him, and because he is 7 feet 9 inches, and this was their wedding. And this is Mr. Sun Mingming, 7 feet 9 inches tall. Quite a basketball player there. And as he palms two balls, and quite a dude, there he is. So there were giants in Noah's day. There have been giants ever since the beginning. There have been giants all throughout history. There are giants now. Here is Mr. Stadnik from the Ukraine. He is 8 feet 5 inches. So actually he is taller than this guy. He's taller than Mr. Xingxing. However, this guy from the Ukraine would not submit to another measurement from the Guinness Book of World Records, so he lost his title, even though he is 6 inches taller than the other guy. But they went ahead and gave the title to the other guy because he submitted. But look how tall this guy is. And just interesting. I know that a lot of them, they get tired of the publicity. They want to be treated as normal people, and they don't really always, but some of them kind of get a kick out of it, I think. Look at him sitting down, changing a light bulb on his ceiling, and there he is standing next to his car. Might be a little difficult to get in his car. But what about David fighting Goliath? You know, obviously this is an artist's rendition. Goliath was huge. Goliath was massive. But the thing I like about it is David didn't go in the wisdom of man. He was intimidated, but yet think about it. There was something in David that there was such a fire. He was so on fire for God that in spite of the fact, we talked about David a little bit this morning, that compared to the others, Jesse's like, well, yeah, there's one more out tending sheep. But there was such a courage in David. And there was such a love for God and a love for country. And he said, you may come to me with spear and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You see, this is a trend that we're finding. Because in Noah's day, these giants were wicked. And like I told you, obviously, there was certainly nothing wrong with being large, and like I told you, there's nothing wrong. And that's not what upset God. is that they were using their massive size toward the promotion of evil. I think I lost some of my sound here. They were using their huge size for the promotion of wickedness and ungodliness and every evil thing. Genesis 6:11, like in our text, says the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. And so everywhere you turned, these giants were using. See, we don't understand. We just think, oh, the earth was evil and corrupt. But the earth was filled with giants, and they were using their size to promote ungodliness, sexual promiscuity. They were using their size for total immorality, mass rape. They were taking advantage because not everybody was a giant. And they were doing what was corrupt in the eyes of God. And I know there's theories, and I'm not here tonight to get into the theories of, you know, some think that the result of these giants in our text that we read about in Genesis 6, some think that it was a supernatural intermingling with demonic spirits, with wicked people. And I'm not here to get into that, because the truth is nobody knows. We don't know. Some say that's just a figure of speech, and that, you know, it was just, well, there's about five or six different theories. I'm not going to get into all that. But what I am here to say is that the giants of the Bible represent the spiritual darkness of today. That there are giants in the earth today, but they are not what we see physically. They are not people. They are, in fact, demonic spirits that are unleashed in these last days. And we know that we are up against things that have been held in reserve for the last days. And so I'm looking, I believe, at some giant slayers tonight. We're looking today at spirits that it's amazing how bold these spirits have become, that they can look right in the face of God and say the Bible is not true, that it's okay to slaughter millions of babies, and that they will worship all kinds of false gods. So God looked on the wickedness, and he revealed his plan to Noah, and he told him how to respond. You can take down my slide. He said, make an ark. Make an ark. Hallelujah. Why? The Lord planned to bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. The only hope at this point was that the ark and Noah and his sons were about to construct a place of safety. Are you hearing me tonight? That there is a new covenant, the covenant of the born-again experience of what Jesus did, that God robed himself in flesh, that Almighty God from the foundation of the world was crucified so that we could take on the new covenant and be saved. It is the ark of safety. God has an awesome ark of safety for someone here tonight that's lost in the darkness. You're overcome by giants of fear, giants of your past, giants that haunt you, giants that tell you you'll never succeed, giants that remind you of maybe of an abusive childhood upbringing, giants that tell you that you do not belong here. The devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. Jesus Christ is our ark of safety. And so in response to the wickedness being purported, much of it by the giants in Noah's day, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And instead of trying to take them on one by one by himself, Noah was overwhelmed. He was surrounded. God said, Noah, get your sons, get out your tools, make an ark of gopher wood. He said, I'm tired of the evil that's overtaken the earth. I repent that I have made man. And he said, Noah, but I'm going to preserve righteous on this earth. And anyone who loves me can get on this boat. Anybody who wants me in their life can get on this boat. Anybody who wants a relationship with me can get on this boat. And only 8 souls got on. But they built, and they built to the mockery of the population. And I'm sure that boat was massive, but to those giants, it was just a regular sized boat, you see. And they mocked him, and who knows what he put up with. Who knows, maybe some of them came over and knocked over some of his construction efforts. I don't know. I'm using my imagination. But he didn't give up. He didn't quit. And he said, now I want one of every species, two, a pair of each species. One pair of each. And God drew them. God is drawing souls today. Let me tell you, it is the Lord that draws. Except the Lord draw them, they cannot come. If you're here, you're here by the grace of God. If you're here by the grace of God, it's because He talked to your heart. Whether you realize it or not, God made a way for us to be in His house one more time. God made a way for us to be in His presence. It is not by accident that you're in His house. Jesus opened the windows of heaven and He kept us alive. He put breath in our lungs. He gave us a purpose. He gave us a reason. So Noah's flood did an amazing thing. It totally altered the axis of the earth. Before Noah's flood, it was always perfect weather, always springtime. But what happened was that flood tilted the earth, axis of the earth, giving us the 4 seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. The Bible says we will always have them until the end. And there have been cataclysmic earthquakes in the last several years, specifically the one in 2004, December 26th, off the coast of Indonesia, that was out in the ocean that caused 300,000 to die. In that massive tsunami, it actually caused the axis of the earth to tilt even further. And the recent Chilean earthquake also further tilted the axis of the earth and sped up the rotation of the earth, further giving us evidence of the fulfillment of the 4th trumpet of Revelation, of the speeding up of time, and the fact that the major sources of light, the sun, the stars, etc., will not shine for 1/3. And it is so amazing how I talk to people all over the nation who say it seems like there's not as much time as there used to be, because all God has to do is speed up the solar system. Cataclysmic things are happening. Unprecedented earthquakes, unprecedented natural disasters. The earth is in turmoil. But that flood, what evolutionists say, caused billions upon billions of years to carve out natural phenomenon. They said, oh, it took billions of years. Now, with more honest archaeologists on the scene, and they're looking at the true evidence, they say this looks, things such as the Grand Canyon and the massive mountains look more like evidence of a massive worldwide flood, and these things happened very quickly. And they said things such as the dinosaurs and other living animals like the mammoths that they have found buried in hundreds of feet of ice with green grass frozen in their mouths. They said they were buried very quickly because there's a phenomenon, and I'm not a creation scientist, but along with Noah's flood and with the collapsing of the water around the canopy of the earth and with the receding of the waters, there was also a relationship with the ice age in there. And they say these woolly mammoths were frozen instantly, and they say it happened about the time of a massive worldwide flood. Back to your biology class, young people, and try explaining that to your teacher. Well, here's the bottom line. There is so much evidence for the biblical account of creation and Noah's flood. It's not even funny. But here's the deal. God wasn't going to try to get Noah to deal with these giants one by one. Instead, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he said, I tell you what, Noah, just build a boat, hallelujah, and I'll take care of them, because giants, they might be able to swim in your backyard pool, but give them a flood miles deep, and they won't do that well. And God took care of all wickedness. God took care of everyone while they mocked. mocked Noah and they made fun of him. Noah just kept his eyes on the Lord. He kept his focus on the Lord. We're surrounded by giants today in our smart intellect. We're not going to solve this world's problems in politics. We're not going to solve this world's problems in programs. There's only one way to keep our focus on Him and see the grace of God and keep it in focus. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I wonder if anyone here tonight that's hurting can sense the grace of God in this building right now. I wonder if anybody who has a past you feel like cannot be erased. Let me remind you of the power of the blood. I see a crimson stream of blood, and it flows from Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. Pain, deep pain that people carry today, that even 50 years ago, things that did not happen. But I've pastored, and I know the stuff people go through, and yet they come to the house of God anyway. I commend every one of you for making your way to the house of God. Because we are facing unprecedented problems. Because unprecedented devils have been unleashed. I believe they are demonic spirits that have been held in reserve until these last days. And we're getting ready to enter the final showdown. But listen to me. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he will never put on his people. The Lord said, Moses had just taken the land of Heshbon. You see, they had faced giants in doing God's will, in trying to regroup, and in trying to go to the land God said, I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. And now Moses was the leader. And in Deuteronomy 25, listen to this, mark it in your Bible. The Lord said, will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven? Did you get that? Do you understand what God was saying? I am restoring, because in the original creation in Genesis, God caused creation to be subject to man. But a lot of that was lost with man's disobedience.
Often wind up with one thorn
with one area in our lives that seems to remain. It seems like we all wind up with an Og. It's like we've slain so many things, but there's one area in our lives that we haven't conquered, or just keeps haunting us. And usually it's our greatest weakness. And for some reason, we still fight it. It's time to destroy the last of the giants. And I say, as we close these series, that it's time to stand to our feet as the musicians come and say, Og, your kingdom is coming down. I wonder if there's anybody in this church, anybody in this house, that's ready tonight to slay some giants in your life, that's ready to say, Satan, I'm tired of the stronghold that you've had. I refuse any longer to give you not even another inch. Og, you're coming down. Would you stand to your feet in this house? I feel victory in this place. We've danced, we've shouted. But I challenge somebody to bring your Og to this altar. We all have Og in our backyard somewhere. The only difference is some of us have already buried him. To some of you, though, he's still alive and standing 14 feet tall in your backyard. I wonder if anybody would be willing to have the courage to say, you know what, because I see grace in the eyes of the Lord, God shut that door to that ark. You need to kill Og and get in the ark. You say, I can't do it. You're right. The only way is to get on the ark. Because there's one thing Og can't do, that once the door of the ark is shut, he won't be able to swim in the flood of evil that's coming. So Jesus is the ark. The only way to take care of Og is to build your ark. You say, what do you mean? Build your relationship with Jesus Christ. Make Jesus king. Put him first. Because you're not strong enough. You're not big enough. Listen, David knew he was not big enough to go up against Goliath. That's why when Saul said, hey, why don't you put on my armor? David said, thanks, Saul, but I've not proved your armor. It was huge on him. And David went out with a sling and a stone with that which he had proven. It was a figurative deal with his faith in God. It wasn't the stone. It wasn't the sling. Yes, they were good at that. But it was his trust in God. And he said, you come with a spear and a sword. That weaver's beam, that spear was so huge. And he said, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. What giant has been pointing its finger at you, mocking you? What giant has been telling you you can't have victory? What giant has been telling you that you are not worthy to come to this altar? What giant has been telling you that you'll never have a miracle? What giant has been telling you that you're going to die with your cancer? What giant has been telling you that you'll never have a good enough job to take care of your family? What giant has been telling you that you're nothing, that you're no good? Why don't you defy your giant that while the door of the ark is open, by evacuating your pew and making your way down these aisles and saying, I refuse to let the giants intimidate me. Og, you're going down. Og, you're going down. Doubt, you're going down. Fear, you're going down. Defeat, you're going down. Past sins, you're going down. That's right. That's right. It's a challenge of faith. Who wants to kill some giants tonight? We better get started. Get your sword out. I said, get your sword out.
Come on.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Taking the whole armor of God.
The
breastplate of righteousness, which is the shield of faith.
Satan,
the sword of the Spirit. The helmet
down.
Of salvation. That giant staring at you. I refuse to be intimidated by those giants. The giant of unbelief. Oh, praise God. So how do you kill it? You got to get on the ark. And then once you're on the ark, you got to unleash praise and worship. Are you ready, musicians? No, are you ready?
Yes.
Huh? Come on. Is somebody ready to kill some giants?
Your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
There's a couple people that are ready.
I've heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Hold it. I wanted you to take one person by the hand. It's a lot easier to kill a giant when you've got a friend. So what I want you to do, I want everybody to go, somebody. I want you to say, I refuse to stand here and let the giants intimidate me. Let's go together.
Yeah,
and I want you to find one person, take him by the hand, and say, hey, let's go kill Og together. Let's go kill Goliath together. Let's go kill fear together. Let's go kill uncertainty together. Let's go kill unbelief together. Come on. Let's go kill everything that you're up against together. Let's kill cancer, sickness, disease together.
Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Hey, I've just received a shot. Your praise is killing the giant. That giant can't stand your heard
the voice of Jesus.
Somebody's making a commitment tonight. I'm going to talk to Jesus every day. And August, you're going down. I'm going to make the Lord a priority in my life. Because giants don't swim well. When there's a flood of the Holy Ghost, a flood of the power of the name of Jesus, a flood of worship. Woo! Come on, that's what we got to do. We got to flood hell.
It grows.
The more you share the oil of the Holy Ghost, the more you receive. have sought God? How many of you have? If you have pled the blood, and many of you have. If you have claimed the promises of God's word, and many of you have. If you have praised and worshiped your King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ the righteous, and most of you have, that is what your giant that has been haunting you looks like in the spirit right now. He's dead. He's a skeleton. Don't fear him anymore. Don't give him any more attention. Don't allow him one millimeter in your life again. Are you hearing me? He's dead. Now Satan's going to try to lie to you and tell you it's still a problem. He's dead. Hallelujah. Somebody give Jesus a prayer.
Joyful noise, blow the trumpet and shout and praise him for the victory.
Weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won.
This is the way that we fight. We praise him for the victory. This is the way we fight. We
Rejoice!